a personal experience with COVID-19 and our blood supply. Are there concerns about it in the cities? It's said every single one of us will probably know someone, if not actually be in contact with someone, who's infected with COVID-19. But as we've seen, it affects different people in very different ways. Some may never even know if they actually had it because they never got a specific test for coronavirus. They were tested for something else, like the flu or even strep throat. They tested negative for that, and so it was assumed they had coronavirus. Well, that was the case with our first guest, a young Quad City woman who felt fine one day and was very sick the next. News 8 reporter Marissa Sulik joins us to talk about a story of sickness, isolation, and recovery. And joining me is News 8's Marissa Sulik. And Marissa, how are you feeling right now? It's got to be great, first off, to be outside.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was out here, like I said, again yesterday out on Duck Creek doing a story about golf, and it was just awesome being out and about. I did take walks while I was in quarantine. I was still out and about, but actually just doing something and having a purpose and doing a job. It's good to be back.
So take me back to just before you got the diagnosis. I mean, how were you feeling? Because it really sounds like you were feeling fine one day and then the bottom just dropped out the next.
Yeah, absolutely. Tuesday, we were doing a St. Patrick's Day story. I was out in Geneseo, and I felt completely fine. I was working with some employees at WQAD. I was at the station that day. Everyone thought I seemed normal, which I was, and I felt completely normal. And then when I went to bed that night, I kind of felt a little off, and I was like, you know what? I'll wake up the next morning and feel completely fine. And then I woke up Wednesday, and I felt absolutely worse. I had aches all over my body. I had a fever that would spike up, and it only would spike up throughout the day that Wednesday and a little bit into Thursday. It was short-lived, but the aches went on for days and days.
Now, you got tested, but not for COVID-19, correct?
Right, yeah. So I eventually got in contact with a virtual doctor on the Genesis app, which is what they kept stressing for me to do. They didn't want me to walk into an emergency room or an urgent care center. So I went through the virtual app, and there wasn't enough tests for me to get a COVID test, but for me to narrow it down, to make sure, to see if this even was the flu, they told me to get the strep and the flu test. And when those both came back negative, I was told just to assume I had COVID-19, and that was from the Genesis doctor and a doctor I have at the University of Chicago. So with that statement, I was just told to quarantine for 14 days.
So did you, I mean, you're a young person, you're a healthy person, you probably suspected you'd be the last person perhaps to get COVID-19, if in case that's what you had.
Right, absolutely. I did not think that it would hit me as hard as it did. And if it hit me this hard, that makes me wonder how it would hit someone who's more vulnerable, someone who's older, someone who maybe is a cancer patient or something. So that is really fearful. But at the same time, I mean, I don't even know if I truly did have it. There's also lots of people who are young who are just carriers. And my roommate, who also lives with me and was quarantined with me, she has been living with me these past 14 days, and she has not developed any symptoms at all. So I don't know if she does have it or if she is just a carrier or how this all works. But it hit me like a ton of bricks last Wednesday out of nowhere.
Yeah, it seems to really affect some people much more seriously than others. And that's why people are so concerned about COVID-19, is that people could be spreading it, feeling good and not knowing that other people are getting it. But at your worst, I mean, you were talking about a spike in a fever, but you also had other issues concerning what? Taste and smell and...
I almost forgot about that one. Yeah, that one went on for a whole week after. I think it was about 4 days after the ache started. So that weekend, I lost my sense of smell. I lost my sense of taste. And that actually was a new symptom that a lot of doctors were reporting that weekend when I actually lost my taste buds, which was just ironic. But yeah, and that went on for a whole week. I couldn't taste, I couldn't smell. And that's happened to me before when I've had the flu, but not for that long, which was really strange.
We were talking about the fact that it's so easy to spread it among people who are your loved ones and that. I mean, did that have you a little bit worried at a time when you thought, boy, if I have COVID-19, I would feel awful if somebody who I love or even slightly like, that I gave it to them?
No, that is so true. And I was actually planning on going home that weekend because I'm from Chicago and I was planning on seeing my parents that weekend. I haven't been home in 3 months and I don't know when I will go home next, whether I do go home for Easter or not, just because we really are trying to social distance and I don't want to spread anything, especially when I am out and about, to my parents who are in their 50s, their 60s. So they're a little bit more on the vulnerable end. But yeah, I mean, you don't want to, I want to go home and give them a hug, and that's just something you kind of question these days. So yeah, trying to stay here as much as possible and not going home.
Is that probably one of the biggest issues that you had with the isolation? I mean, you spent 2 weeks where you could not leave the house in any way, shape, or form, or basically have any human contact. How tough was that?
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely tough. And it's one thing to be isolated in a house. I was isolated to an apartment. And it's one thing to be isolated to an apartment. I was trying to isolate myself to my entire, just my room. So I didn't want to try and, I mean, my roommate was quarantined with me. I didn't want her to get sick at all. So I was trying just to stay in one spot. It's, you really do kind of have to be your own best friend. I've been saying this for the past week now. I only saw her once in a while. And that was like, if we were in the kitchen at the same time, or if we were just crossing paths, but you really are, you do kind of feel lonely. And you do, I mean, I went on walks and I saw people out and about, but I really just stuck with myself for 2 weeks. You learn a lot about yourself.
Well, and when you're talking about isolation, I mean, think of it this way, is that you came out back out into society, so to speak, in a very different world than 2 weeks earlier when you went into self-isolation. Did that surprise you at how much the world has changed in just 14 days?
Yeah, that is so surprising. And yesterday, even when I was out on the golf course talking to the golfers, I mean, especially now that I may have had it and I've fought it and I feel good, I'm like ready to go out and just put a mic in someone's face, and I have to understand that people are taking strict precautions and I cannot just do that anymore. I have to really think about what I'm doing. So yeah, I mean, it is very different in a way. Everyone's, not many people are out anymore, but the golf course was pretty busy yesterday. So yeah, I really have to think twice about what I do when it comes to my job.
Have your doctors told you anything about, okay, you've already had it, you're not going to get it again, or you've already had it, you may spread it easier? I mean, is there anything? A lot of people think that once you have it, man, the light switch comes on, you're fine after that.
And that's what I want to think. I want to think I had it and I'm done. But you're right, that is still something that I could relapse. I could get it again. We don't know enough about this virus yet to know that I can't get this again, one, or two, do I still have remnants that I could still spread? So, yeah, and I have kind of talked to my doctor a bit. She doesn't even know yet. So that's just something we kind of have to be cautious of, even if you do think you've had it.
So where do you go from here, I ask you that, only because you must be a little paranoid at this point.
Yeah, I am a little paranoid. I'm just trying to live my life as normal as right now. As normal as we can, I guess. But I'm just assuming that it's done, it's in the past, and we're able to move on, and hopefully the rest of the world will move on too as this virus works its way throughout the month of April, and hopefully not too far into May or June. We have to see where this all goes.
And what do you tell somebody who might be facing this, who might just have found out that they might have COVID-19, who are perhaps just entering a self-isolation of 2 weeks? I mean, you went through it. The isolation does get to you. You can imagine that some people might be able to handle it far better than others. What are you telling people?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question. I was listening to a podcast, actually, right when I started my isolation period. And I was listening to a podcast by someone who used to be a monk. And now he has this podcast. His name is Jay Shetty. And he kept telling people, this isn't so much isolation. This is solitude. Like, take the time for yourself now while you can. If you are actually isolated, like, you have time just to find a new hobby, do something. And that's kind of what I did. I actually started some vlogs through News 8. And I put them on my Facebook page. And it's just been something that really did blow up. I had a lot of friends from home that started watching them with their families. I've had a lot of shares on Facebook, a lot of viewers, a lot of people in our area were reaching out to me and wished me the best and said they enjoyed the vlogs. And it's just something that I was like, oh, you know what? I could totally do this and I could carry this out and make it something that I do throughout my WQAD career, throughout my reporting career. So yeah, it's kind of a newfound little hobby that I found while I was in isolation and learning about myself. Crazy stuff.
And let's be honest, I mean, a lot of us have been out of work or at least not going to work or staying put as much as possible, and you're getting a lot done. Can I assume that your house has never been cleaner?
It is super clean, that is for sure. And yeah, like I am back at work, but I go back home after. So I'm like, am I back in isolation sometimes? I have to do like a reality check. But yeah, it is super clean and spotless. And we're still trying to keep it that way.
And one last question would be, what do you want people to know? I mean, you were able to get the diagnosis, get the medical attention that you needed at the time. You were able to take care of yourself. You knew you were in contact, albeit distantly, with friends and relatives. You got to feel like perhaps you're stronger coming out of it than when you went into it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'd say you'd rather be safe than sorry. I mean, get those tests. And I know when it comes back negative, that doesn't even mean that you have COVID. It's just a possibility. I mean, you could have something completely different, but it's better to take the precautions now, especially during this time, and just know that you aren't infecting anyone else. Try and stay in your home, possibly to a room, and just play it out from there. It'll all be done eventually, but you just got to get those 2 weeks through.
News 8's Marissa Sulik, thank you so much for joining us, and we're so happy that you're feeling a whole lot better these days.
Thanks, Jim.
The Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center says its supply is being impacted because so many blood drives that were usually held right now during the spring have been canceled. We'll have more on that in just a moment. But first, there is still time for you to stand up and be counted. The 2020 census continues.
What is the 2020 census? Every 10 years, the census records everyone living in this country. It's written in the Constitution and comes in a questionnaire that counts everyone who lives at your address on April 1st. The data can be used to inform funding for services like fire stations, schools, clinics, and representation that affect your community. Shape your future. Start here. Visit 2020census.gov.
Why should I care about the 2020 census?
Every 10 years, the census counts everyone living in the U.S.
Count everyone living with you.
Even kids!
Our numbers help shape funding and services.
For all these things.
That's a lot of stuff.
Your responses are safe and secure.
No matter who you are or where you're from.
We have reasons to care.
Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov.
Many of you are staying home, avoiding crowds, staying safe. That means concerts, of course, are canceled, and local musicians are just simply being kept off the stage. Well, we'll continue to feature some of those local artists right here on The Cities to give you some local flavor of the music that we get to hear all the time. Musicians like Beth Ann Heitgerken, who joined us at the Black Box Theater in Moline for one of her originals called Use Me Up Again.
You were lonely, I was sweet, holding hands and touching feet. I'm afraid to admit wrong. I'll shut my mouth and carry on. Write a song for you. I'll paint a picture with a sky dark blue. Sheltered lies and crooked truths, saddened sighs and tears of you. Use me up again. Use me up again. There are days when I can't find an end in sight to ease my mind. Then I take a breath, let it out till nothing's left. I wish so many things, but wishes rarely often bring what I need. Soothe my soul, I can't get back the things I stole. wait for your return. Let the past offenses burn. Sorry for your heart, broken, tried to sew the parts. Love the way you say my name, write to you although in vain. People, that is plain as day. My poems, they have the strength to say the cardinal rhymes. And use me up one more time. Somewhere over the rainbow, I'm with you. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. You are over the rainbow, where am I? Do do do. Years ago, and in the park, on the stage, and in the dark, we are far removed from then. Our hearts are far. I try to send my love on down the street, addressed to you, and wrapped up sweet. The card written in rhymes ends. Use me up one more time. Written in rhymes as use me up one more time. Use me up again. Use me up again. Oh, use me up again. Use me up again.
That's Bethann Heitgerken and Use Me Up Again. Well, there are some concerns about the supply of blood in our area, not from actually the coronavirus itself, but from the falling number of blood donors. Schools are out right now, and usually that is a huge source for blood in the spring throughout our area. We sat down with Kirby Wynn from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center.
Tell me about the situation right now for the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center. Is that you're always a little worried about the blood supply, and now are hospitals in more dire need because now there's fewer surgeries, less elective surgeries being done?
That's a good question. We are balancing the blood supply against patient need, which is a very good position for us to be in. As the COVID-19 pandemic began to impact us locally, the first thing we saw was a very high rate of blood drive cancellations, more than we would ever have seen previously, even when we've had snowstorms and inability to travel. schools began calling off. So we immediately went into a message of, we need donors to replace donations that won't come in through the mobile blood drives. And donors were very generous in stepping forward. They kept our donation centers and our other mobile blood drives very busy. And so the good news is the blood supply is meeting patient needs right now. We're concerned about the turns this could take moving forward, because we still have all of the blood drive cancellations that are impacting us, and we don't know just what will happen with the eligible donor base. Can they maintain the current rate of activity? Will there be more blood utilization at hospitals? Currently, indications are that there actually is some less blood utilization. So it's our job now to maintain a balance of donations coming in and components going out to match patient need.
And let's be honest, I mean, the blood donations aren't just for surgery. I mean, you're talking about people that need platelet replacements and all the other things that blood donations are used for.
Yeah, in fact, transfusions aren't given to COVID-19 patients. Generally, they're used, we're thinking about the cancer patients who have ongoing treatment and might require red blood cells or platelets to make it through chemotherapy and radiation. There's still trauma, accidents out on the roads, other incidents involving blood loss. Another example that is just going to come when it comes is complications in connection with childbirth. And none of those are really going up or down. Possibly there's less trauma. There is some less blood utilization in general, probably in connection with fewer elective surgeries. And so we're working very closely with the hospitals we serve to understand patient need and what those trends are like. As I mentioned, there has been a bit of a downturn in the use of blood. So we're in a position of not wanting to over-collect, but while also managing all of these blood drive cancellations and the potential for increasing rates of infection within the donor base, which would also cause problems for donor presentation.
People have been told to either shelter in place or told not to gather in crowds. Is that a problem as far as the blood drives or the blood collections are concerning for the general public?
Yeah. We've taken some extra steps at our donation center and blood collection operations to make sure that we don't have staff or donors coming in if they're not feeling well. Signs on the doors, if you have any of these symptoms, don't come in today. Staff understand if you're feeling under the weather, don't tough it out and come to work. Be very much on top of monitoring any symptoms. Now, allergy season and that symptoms that you may have that are unrelated to COVID-19, but we don't always know the difference, right off the bat, we're asking people to stay home and refrain from giving blood. We also have enhanced sanitation and cleaning practices for our staff and cleaning surfaces and wiping down tables and chairs between donations. A blood donation center is always a very clean and hygienic environment in the first place. And of course, we can't fully maintain social distancing throughout the entire blood donation process, but we are asking everyone, for instance, who comes to give blood to first make an appointment. Because if we have walk-ins, then we're not really controlling how many people are in the facility at any given time. So that's a big change that we've made, is asking everyone to schedule in advance.
Are there fears that the COVID-19 can be passed on through the blood supply?
We haven't seen that. We haven't seen that patients receiving a blood transfusion can contract COVID-19. It's really respiratory illness that is transmitted to others through the mucous membranes or secretions from cough and sneeze. And so while we would certainly be concerned with any risk of any viral transmission to a patient receiving a blood transfusion, in the industry's experience with coronaviruses in the past, and even now, we have not seen any evidence of people contracting COVID-19 from a blood transfusion.
And the toughest thing for this blood center and all blood centers is that you really do rely on the kids, on these high school blood rallies that go on, on those donation sources. With that being gone, is that troubling as you head into the summer?
As looking ahead, we see blood drive cancellations out through the end of May, on into June. At first, we lost all the schools that host mobile blood drives, and that is a very significant portion of our donor base. Many students, though, are still finding our donor centers and coming in, understanding the importance of giving blood. Summers are always a challenge for us because we can't schedule blood drives at the schools, and in general, the donor behavior across our donor base changes during the summer months. That makes it a little more difficult to find enough people. So we're currently seeing a reduction in the use of blood, but that all could come back in a big way if, for instance, elective surgeries that have been delayed happen at an increasing volume during the summer. So it could be very challenging. What we're asking of the public is please just listen to us in terms of when is the right time to schedule. Because at the moment, our inventories are very good. And that projects to look about the same for the next couple of weeks. But if we take a turn and we see, for instance, increasing rates of infection, or the downtrend in the use of blood at the hospitals we serve reverses, then we'll have messaging out there that says now is the time. And so we really like this new environment of asking everyone to schedule appointments, because it does help us control the ebb and flow and to match the amount of donations coming in with the components that are needed at hospitals we serve.
Kirby Wynn from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center. Thank you for joining us for the cities, and we want to remind you that we have a lot of great online possibilities, programs for you and your family. Go to our website at WQPT.org to learn more about the PBS Kids program. It includes several interactive apps and games that make learning fun. Plus, check out PBS for Parents with online resources, including a section that helps moms and dads talk to their kids about the coronavirus. It's all free and family-friendly. Check it out right now at WQPT.org. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.